sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny. Okay. Right? Because Beastie Boys go, Jurap. It's a hint. It's a hint of what we're doing.
So people just blindly just play our stuff without looking about what they're playing. You just don't look at or read any of the...
Yeah. People like to be surprised. Yeah.
Is there a way to everybody, like... randomly play our episodes out of order? Not that you need continuity for this, but
like if you're listening at home, when you are playing our podcast, set to shuffle.
Shuffle.
All right, thank you.
Wouldn't that just shuffle everything in their library? So they'll go from our podcast to like a chapter from a book or something, whatever the image, like maybe a song.
Also very fun and interesting to do, yeah.
Very, yeah. And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing Drop. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, to give it first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, it's been slow year, but...
slow for the horror movie so far, yeah.
But I think we did, but we should pat ourselves on the back for doing an excellent job of reviewing so many movies last year that we were able to compile.
That you're going to try to pronounce.
No, I've actively avoided that so I can go somewhere else. No, but they can check out our top 5 movies of last year. Comprehensive. We couldn't watch everything. Yes. Don't need to watch everything, but what we saw was what we rated, and we have a top 5. We have Kaiden. We have Together.
There you go. Yeah, we do.
We Drop. All single title names. Maybe just keep that streak going. Watch. Yeah. Fall.
I like it.
Or Thirst.
Thanks. Giving.
Just. Yeah.
I think Come True is one word.
It could be.
Yeah. It probably is, actually.
But yeah, if you want to check out any of those episodes, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. John, move on to the main event, because I know you didn't like this movie.
Yeah. I know you want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know you do. I know you like it.
There's only one flaw in this whole movie, and I'll tell you.
That it ended?
Yeah. There's only one thing that was unbelievable in this entire movie that I'll tell you about.
But, one thing, okay. There's no way this kid is related to this mother. No,
But I'll let you know. I'll let you know as later in the pod. But first and foremost, John, you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny,
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Drop, Confused Writer's Understanding of Trends.
Okay, that's a thinker.
I have a lot to say about that, but maybe I won't say it at all. I'm just be like, you know, I'm not old. I understood all these things. The guy that looks like he's 60-something, but I guess he's only supposed to be like in his
50s. Exactly what an old person would say. Right. Go ahead.
It's true. Coming in at number 2 for Drop, Therapist Dates Missing Many Buttons.
I don't know.
His fucking shirt, dude. I was like, what is this? The fuck's this guy wearing? You don't remember that?
I remember.
The date shows up and he's like, his shirt's basically completely unbuttoned and he's wearing like his white shirt underneath and it's like supposed to be a high-end restaurant.
Yeah.
Anyway. And coming in at 1 for Drop, Weirdest Final Destination Cold Open.
Right. What a coincidence, right? That this Drop is also basically set in one of those like fancy restaurants on top of a tall building or whatever.
Yeah, like what, like a needle, or I don't know what else to call those things. Observation, like needle tower thingy.
Yeah. Alrighty. Drop, written by Christopher Landon, who actually wrote Hard Eyes.
And, yeah, Christopher Landon and somebody Jacobs, right?
Yeah, for this movie, yes. He's actually Jillian Christopher Jacobs, Landon, I would
not
say.
Not to be confused with actress Julian Jacobs.
I thought it was Julian Jacobs. I looked it up. It's not. But
yeah, she spells her name with 2 J's.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, I mean, Jillian with a J, Jacobs with a J.
Gotcha. Christopher Landon is directing this, and he's been kind of a little bit in the horror scene for quite a bit. His movies always seem to get attention. One we liked was Freaky. We also liked The Marked Ones. That's also another one we did enjoy very much. Because he kind of took over the Paranormal Activity writing for a while. It's kind of his baby. And what else? We were super, really big fans of Hard Eyes. So, and he also does those, I'm trying to find it real quick. Those like Happy Death Days movies, which are always look kind of fun, you know, very kind of like 90-ish vibes to it. I personally haven't seen them.
Those are
okay. I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I like them. Fun fact, the first one came out and I was on my first official date as partners with my previous relationship, mm-hmm. and I had such a bad sore throat that I was coughing up blood, and I decided to go watch Happy Death Day.
As you should. Well, I'm surprised he actually wrote this. His first movie he wrote is a indie. I quite enjoy Another Day in Paradise. I really liked it. Larry Clark directed that. I didn't know he wrote that. That's actually a movie I liked over the years. Well, anyways. He's kind of made his bones doing horror movies now, and he directed this one. Do you want to give us your first thoughts, or do you want me to just talk about it?
Didn't care for it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it. I think it's he's written a lot of great stuff. And, you know, I was looking up Jillian Jacobs' other writing stuff, and it is real hit or miss, I'll be honest. Okay. I appreciate her for writing Truth or Dare, which was, in my opinion, a fucking terrible movie, but it employed a lot of my friends. So thank you for that. I don't know. I feel like maybe this movie would have benefited from a younger writer.
Okay.
I think is one thing I'll say about it. But yeah, anyway, what did you think of it? You loved it, right?
No, I mean, I had fun with it. I feel like there was enough for me to be emotionally involved with where I could just have go along for the ride of it. You know what I mean? Like, and suspend my disbelief, which is like kind of like the point of movies, right? Like, not everything needs to be like true to life or whatever, right? Or like a documentary. Oh, this has to all be real in some ways.
I think what really took me out of it was it felt like a really long CSI movie.
I've never seen CSI.
Oh, it's kind of shot, edited, like the writing's kind of the same, which I don't mind CSI, but CSI is also only like 25 minutes long.
I think I really liked, first of all, I really liked this, the main actress, Megan, I'm going to probably butcher her last name, Fahey, yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like her. She was really good in The White Lotus. It's good to see her in this. Yes. I feel like she has like very natural, kind of easy charm to her. And I really liked the other guy too, Brian Skyliner. Skyliner?
Yeah, you're on your own for that one. Sorry.
Thank you. He might be our new Batman, by the way. He might be our new Batman. He might be in James Gunn's, supposedly. Personally, he's gotten fucking yoked. But I really liked just the kind of general setting, you know. I like some of the touches here, directing touches. I thought he kind of moved. There were some nice sequences where he moved the camera well, and I really like that the text messages were like written over the screen. I think there's another movie that employs this same task, and I kind of like this way of showing text. I think it adds a bit of tension and ominous to it, the way they reveal the text. Instead of always like boringly cutting to the phone and always looking at the phone, he kind of just puts it in big letters across like walls, screens and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of like a fun way to
portray. another big thing that made me think of like CSI or like other shows of the same caliber, like NCIS and all that. They do the same thing.
Okay.
I guess Dexter is another close-ish idea of what, but you know, CSI and NCIS are kind of written for young ladies that stay at home in the Midwest.
Young. Is the plan. Come on now. CBS audience is 65 and asleep. And I think it's a relatively easy concept that everybody, even if like you're not technologically like in the now, I think people understand what drop is, right? They understand what it is, airdrop, basically, this idea of if you're in proximity of range of people, if you turn it on, you can like drop photos. And they kind of do a semi-decent explanation of what it
is. Yeah, they go up to this place, and I think as a part of the restaurant's rule, everybody had to leave it on.
Right. Right.
So that's why it was so hard to pinpoint who it was.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, to me there's enough there to where, you know, that it's not like You've Got Mail, where they were rushing that movie out because they didn't think emo was going to be a thing and they needed to catch it while it was still popular. You know, it's not one of those scenarios, right? So we're not.
To be fair, AOL messaging email did not have a long lifespan.
That's true. It just sort of morphed into what we consider text messages now, right? Basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought they did a relatively easy job with that. And where I'd say there's flaws is like, was I like completely invested in like how they're tripping up like this first date? No, I wasn't. I thought it was a little too, you know, a little too convenient in certain circumstances. Things kind of happen a little
and
too
just
easy.
Like,
I would have liked...
like, either this guy really liked this woman or just needed to get laid or something, because there was moments where I would have been like, I just feel like you're not into this date. She's like, why do you say that? And I would say, because you've been, like, looking around the restaurant for about 45 seconds straight, and then you noticed I was here, so...
Well, I mean, you got to divorce your own personal biases and try to see it from people's perspective, right? You can't put yourself in those situations, because then you'll be like, you'll just use logic and then everything falls apart after that. Yeah.
she was a major red flag. Sorry.
But I mean, like what I mean is kind of like suspend your disbelief, right? For the fun of it. Because you go in thinking with the promise like, oh, this is going to be a fun movie. And it's fair to say I didn't have fun. You're like, oh, I didn't have fun with the movie. I didn't think it was clever enough. I wasn't thrilled by what happened, or I didn't believe the scenarios. And I feel like enough of it was like, fine, it's going. We're moving at a good pace. We're like, you know, it's not unbelievable at this point. There's sometimes movies get to the point where it's just like, man, I can't even like suspend my disbelief. Things are happening. People are behaving so out of character from what they set up that you just like don't believe it. And to that point, I would say that this movie also not crazy about the third act. I think it's a little very safe kind of third act ending and resolution. But I think what they're kind of betting on in this movie is that you've had at least some fun with it. Like, it was enough of two charming leads, and there's enough like icky people can at least put themselves in this idea of like going on a first date. And most people generally feel as a sort of feel like most first dates go bad, right? Especially in dating apps is kind of the idea.
And that she chose a restaurant that was the next block over from her place, and that the elevator is like in a very efficient, super fast elevator, and that nobody would stop and question it. I'm gonna point out all these things because they're funny to me.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Like, everything you said I totally caught as well, and I don't disagree with that.
But the thing is, like, I did think a bit more like, and I don't know if this is the intention, but I was like, how fucking shitty is it that she finally goes on a date? Because I was under the impression she was agoraphobic for some reason. I think maybe because she was like working from home therapist to take care of her son, single mother, right? And then a little obsessive, I thought so, because she has cameras in every nook and cranny of her house. So, I mean, I think it's because of what happens at the beginning, which I thought was the end of the movie. And I was like, oh, they're starting the movie at the end. And then I realized it was a memory. And I was like, oh.
I kind of figured that as well. But I mean, revealing who the person is, I kind of wouldn't do it any favors. So I figured, okay, well, this must be something
else. He's wearing a skin mask.
This must be like the past, right? Because then she's immediately, we cut to black, and we're talking about. We're talking about like she's helping a patient that survived domestic abuse, right? As part of her therapy. Yeah. And then, so I figured, oh, okay, I kind of know where that's going.
And then the movie happens.
And then the movie happens, yes.
She meets a laundry list of peculiar characters that could all be the bad guys.
She meets like an old guy going on a first date. She meets a guy that's always a younger guy who's always on his phone, could be the bartender.
A bartender that's just friendly.
A concierge that might be something, who's
like trying to... Okay. With everything that I've been saying negative about this movie, he was my favorite part of the movie. Like, I was like, hey, he's back. All right, what's he going to say? He's funny.
Oh, that waiter. The actual waiter.
The groundlings guy, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're talking about the lady with the...
She was suspected for like a hot second a couple of the times. Was like, I'm looking in her direction, but
but I really like the waiter. He was really funny.
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of like where it stood in terms of like suspects, or they could, or could have been like a weird like Deus Ex Machina character that we didn't see either as a possibility too.
Which so. I mean, there was somebody that I suspected because it was just such a weird way to introduce the character, but that would be a spoiler because I found out I was right later. Mm-hmm. But then it could be a table full of high school kids.
Could be a table full of high school kids. Sure.
Could have, yeah. Which is funny because when they leave, you see them turn around and they're like, the check is brought to them and they all like pick up their cards like they need to split it. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, a lot of this movie kind of hangs on.
And that's where the fun
that's
ends.
That's where the fun ends.
I'm just kidding.
yeah, I would say a lot of this hangs on our two main leads, and I actually like both of them quite a bit. I thought they were very charming. Like, ridiculously attractive.
It's just like, I thought the writing was a little weird. Like, the conversations were a little weird.
They didn't even really have conversations, right? Like, they were like, they had like maybe
strange.
She asked a one good question. It was like, why'd you pick me? Yeah. And then he kind of gives like, I wouldn't say the most satisfying answer in the world.
I thought that's where it was going to be like, okay, they're going to make it seem like he's the red herring, because that would be the most interesting thing is if he was the guy that was like orchestrating the whole thing.
Yeah. I almost feel like I would have liked to have seen more of a...
Buttons buttoned up?
I would... that too. I would have liked to have seen more of a date scenarios in it, to kind of break up some of the... Because I feel like the drop happens and then we're just sort of like, it's that's all she's doing for like the entire... And she's... And I kind of get the idea behind that, but like, I almost feel like there could have been ways to have more fun with them just being on a date as opposed to like trying to push the plot.
Yeah, that way it gives them more of a reason to actually want to stick around and...
Yeah.
Because I hated that she showed him and introduced him into the drops, that they had a whole fun little thing about that. I thought that was fun, where he's trying to figure out who it is in the restaurant with her. And then she's like, just like, oh, forget it, you know, just drop it. And he's like, just assuming everything else is what's going on with her and not that she's still getting weird things, even though she's looking at her phone. I was like, man.
See, what if there was a scene where he says like, oh, I don't want kids, right? Like, right. Yeah. There could have been more like date questions they could have had where it wasn't going well.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Where, like I don't want kids, or like, man, I don't want you to have a hot sister.
because he kind of just feels like, just a plot device, right? Because like, he just seems like too nice, has the right answers, too perfect, right? Like... I would have liked him to have a little bit like more agency, like, oh, I don't want kids. Leaving. What city was this? I could not tell you what city.
Yeah, I could not tell either. I had to look it up.
Calrano, Seattle. It's either Chicago, Toronto, or Seattle. It's like, it didn't look like an American city whatsoever. I'm assuming they shot this somewhere else.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, because I had to look at it. Yeah, they shot an Ireland.
Yeah,
it was like, this doesn't look American.
Yeah, I cannot tell you what any of these places were. But I just feel like he could have been a little bit more fleshed out as a character, a little bit more motivated as to why he was there, instead of just being so accepting of her sort of odd behavior. I think that could have.
Yeah, and you're right about his dry answers. Like, I didn't like the way they wrote a lot of the dialogue, I guess. But I feel like it, because the point of the screenplay was not their relationship.
Yeah, I would say so in an extent. Yeah, it's more about her overcoming something, right? It's one of those like plot things.
Yeah, which is a lot like Hard Eyes.
You know, I had more fun with Hard
it's
Eyes.
Her, like,
to be fair.
Yeah, I had way more fun with Hard Eyes. I'm thinking Hard Eyes had a much bigger budget and like a longer time to write.
And I think he co-wrote it too with somebody else.
But because one of his dry answers that I fucking hated was when she was like, so what's the mayor like? And then he's just weird about it and doesn't want to talk about it. He's like, I'm just his photographer. I mean, there's a bit of reveal later as to why he's like that, but I don't think it's justified.
Yeah, he's a little too cookie cutter, especially if he's like the second lead in this. So yeah, I think he does feel like a plot device, because he's, without getting into too spoilerish territories, like the motivation for this whole thing.
Technically, he's the damsel.
Technically. So, but yeah, I mean, I was able to at least have some fun with, you know, everything you're saying.
I had a bit of difficulty.
Everything you're saying, I totally understand. Like, I see it. I understand it. I thought the same things. I just was just more accepting.
You know what? Maybe it's because I'm so snooty and snobby since we saw Kaiden, and I'm like, this is art. And, you know.
Would you like to an earless guitar player sing to you for 20
minutes?
I think
so. Yeah, yeah. I needed the backdrop just to be like a painting of a bunch of swirly eyes. I think that made the movie really just cool. Like, I don't know.
Can you imagine? I mean, I could definitely see, I know we're making pokey fun at it, but how do you, like, if you were to watch these movies back to back, you get one artistic kind of like flourishes, and then you get a very kind of the time standard thriller, which is no knock on it. It's just what is what it is. I mean, it's just, it's about as safe of a direction you can possibly go.
General moviegoers would probably end up thinking Drop is an amazing movie watching Kaiden right before, I think, is what
I feel like both movies are trying to, what's great about contrasting these movies is I think both of them are trying to do two different things. Kaiden's trying to be art, right? Yeah. Trying to express something like about life. And then I feel like Drop is just trying to have fun. They're just trying to be entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, without having to think too hard about stuff and just create a fun ride, like an amusement park ride kind of thing. That's both true. Are valid, I will say, right? But I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
Just needed small little things. Like, I wanted her to be like, let me turn off my AirDrop. But then she still gets the things. I'd be like, cool. But that never happened.
I would have liked to have also explored a little bit more of her trauma, too. I feel like it was present and they did explain a lot of it. And it's kind of like the hook of her motivation. But I would have liked to have seen smaller human behavioral moments with her. I don't know.
I think that's what I said. We briefly talked about it beforehand, but like she just went into like almost like spy mode. Like she was good at doing things.
Like maybe she like Googled him. That's like a common thing, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like she kind of just was like, why is this guy? Like, I would have liked to explore a little bit more of her as a person in her reservation.
Person. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she does have like this huge, like, unfortunately, I think what I don't like about it is that we're not all just defined by like our worst big moments in our life, right? The sort of shame that we have. So I could have liked to have explored a little bit more of moments where she, like, what kind of relationship did she have with her sisters? You know what I mean? Like, why did she have brunette hair?
I got to talk about this. Go for it. I thought this was so fucking funny. So she's with her son and then they're talking, they're having like a really nice moment, and then her sister shows up and then the son is like, oh, it's fun, auntie. And I thought that was the funniest fucking thing I'd ever heard in my life. Like, the fun end is what she said. He said. Yeah. And I was like, how many sisters does she have? And I think it's just the one. But I thought that whole thing was really funny.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
So Drop is worth watching the first 10 minutes of... No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure people are going to like this movie.
I don't know if people did. I mean, I don't know if... I mean, apparently it made back its budget, but it was very minuscule. So I don't know how big of a reach.
You know, another subtle small thing is the reason I keep like bringing up like, it just seemed like she turned into like spy mode. Like she was really good at like being discreet or doing certain things or knowing where to look for stuff and blah, blah, blah. What if she was like really into like espionage novels or something? And then that's how she figures everything out, just because she's an avid reader, like something cute like that.
Yeah, that would make sense too. I kind of get where you're coming from. Yeah. Alrighty. Do you want to go into spoilers?
Yes.
All right. Drop them.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers! It was the ancient old guy that was born in 67.
Yeah. They make you feel sorry for because he's kind of aloof. I almost low-key wanted to hear what he said because the woman just was like actively not interested in him. His date, because he also was on a first date, I don't know, dropper?
Antagonist. Dropper. Yeah, I like how they made his blind date show up after they have a whole conversation, because he thought that maybe our main protagonist was going to be his date, but which you realize that it's just him getting close enough to do something to like keep tagging her, to keep tabs on her. But that his blind date shows up and she's like visibly disappointed. I was like, what's wrong with this guy? But okay.
Yeah. It should have been more. I mean, I guess it's fine for what it was. It kind of made sense. No, he clearly was playing.
I just thought it was funny.
Clearly
just
was playing somebody awkward, right? He was trying to play somebody like unlikable so she can just like get rid of her and then just continue to stay at the
And for good reason, right? Yeah. So he can like keep, you know, focus on her.
The entire time, yeah. So I didn't get it. So he worked for the mayor? Was he like somebody that helped him do criminal stuff?
I think it's he was crooked like the mayor, and our photographer, our guy who was a photographer for the mayor, was trying to do a good thing and be a mole. And the best way to get rid of him, because if he just murdered him, then it just becomes a whole thing and things will blow up in the mayor's face no matter what. But if he's able to get a blind date who has a history of violent things happening to her, kill her date, then that just goes away on its own.
Right.
So that was kind of fun and clever. And when the reveal happened and she figures it out and goes and talks to him, I liked everybody, like as far as acting, but I thought what's his face was like great. Reed Diamond, mm-hmm. He plays Richard. Like he did a really good job of just like switching it on.
Right, yeah. I agree. Shut up. I was
but yeah, it's him and the other guy that I said had a weird introduction.
Hello? Yeah, I'm listening.
I think we're slowing down a little bit. Sorry.
Okay. Is it the internet? Probably the internet.
Yeah.
Do you hear me though?
This is how the sausage is made, people. All right. So we're good.
Okay.
I think, sorry. It's because we're getting some, did you get a meme on your telephone that says stop talking shit about our phone?
from C. Landon.
But the other guy that had a weird introduction, C. Landon, yeah.
Who could that be?
The guy that's supposed to read the meter knocks on like some side window, like near the back of the house. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah. The meter's on the other side. I'm like, how did you not think that was weird? What's going on?
So was it the meter guy? Was that the reveal?
Yeah. It was the meter guy at the end that helped him. Yeah.
I kind of figured that was, that's like, what it was.
That was weird. Yeah.
When she said that, I was like, dude, no way, bro. You don't ever let anybody. Maybe it's because we're Hispanic. We just like pretend. If somebody comes knocking and we don't know who it is, we just hide in the house. Like we don't.
On my fucking window, like on the other side of the house.
Like an Amazon driver. Get out of here, bro. Like,
Yeah.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was a little too. Dude, I totally forgot that. But yeah, that's why they reveal him. And I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. I looked at him. I don't remember who this man is. But yeah, I guess that tracks too. That he was there to, I don't know, put the cameras in, or I don't fucking know. Who knows? He's just there.
Yeah,
just,
who knows?
Just to kind of cover base, right? Just to cover base that.
Just so you know, someone
all
was
makes
there.
Sense. Yeah, just basically all it's there. But yeah, like, okay, so early in the show, I said, like, there's, like, the most unbelievable thing in this movie was, and you want to know what it is? It's actually literally the thing you said in one of your things. It's like, how does he dress like that for a date at a fancy restaurant?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Yeah.
There's, like, a whole scene where her sister helps her pick a better outfit, and it's actually quite nice. It's a charming thing. And he just shows up in, like, totally unprepared. Like, I wish they would have at least mentioned it, right? Like, oh, sorry, I looked this way.
Yeah, he showed up like he went through Rex Manning from Empire Records wardrobe. Like, this is it. This is what I want to wear.
Yeah, like a white, you know, two buttons down, white shirt underneath, and like a.
I wouldn't even. You're being so generous to him. It was like five buttons off.
It looked
super flowy, big. What was it in Seinfeld where they make fun of the shirt that Jerry buys and it's like real flowy? Yeah, like a puffy shirt almost.
Or a pirate shirt. But yeah, no, I just could not believe he chose to do that. And they didn't even mention it. I was like, that's an easy joke. Or, you know.
That's an easy red flag. She would have left immediately.
Yeah, because literally everybody's like dressed in suits and ties. It's definitely like swanky.
Yeah, fancy dresses. And
So.
And, yeah, he
looked, the second red flag is they shared a meal. So I was like, a little cheap, huh? Being a little skimpy.
Yeah. Well, I think it was supposed to be an appetizer, and then they never got to the main course.
No, they so I love food. So I pay attention to order. So but it's his own.
Yeah, okay.
So they did order the calamari, which was very popular on their specials.
Which sat there for way too long.
It would have been
by that point.
calamari does not hold, so it would have been a really bad long night. But
so yeah, the third red flag is they should have both have had shellfish poisoning
from warm calamari. But they shared potato truffled potatoes, mashed potatoes. And then they bring the food and it's like just like small portion. Is she got a duck salad? really? I don't know, man.
Yeah, which was like, no offense to a culinary that worked on the thing, because I know they had to, like, there's this whole bit where she writes something on a $20 bill in lipstick, which I could not for the life of me fucking read. Like, I paused it and I was like, I don't know what this means.
Two hostages and something is what I got.
Yeah, it looked like it said two hostages and then I guess the Avengers? Address, but I was like, that's I don't what know I what that means.
Like, I don't know.
Like, I as just watching it as a viewer, it took me a while to figure out like what that was supposed to be. I was like, I don't know. What does it mean? What does it mean? But how she sends it to the guy that was in the Mindy Project, right? He plays the piano player.
Oh, okay.
And, that was the other thing that I didn't believe. I was like, he can play piano too. This guy from the Mindy Project. He's perfect in every way. He plays piano too. yeah. And then I guess somehow our guy slips the $20 note at the very bottom of this like very weak looking salad. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed in that salad. I was like, I would be like, send this shit back.
Yeah. Like when she ordered it, I was like, I hope they do the right thing and they were able to look at this duck salad because I needed to, I didn't see what this yeah. is. But
because it didn't take very long to see where the $20 bill was at, because there's a couple of leaves on there, and then
well, that's a red flag, right? Like, why would you just order salad? That's a big yeah. red flag.
Interesting, yeah. Maybe so your tummy doesn't grumble later when you're doing naughty stuff.
Yeah. Well, duck. I mean, it's kind of a dark meat. It might make you a little.
They also did eat calamari. Never mind.
They did. They poked at it. I felt like they drank more than they ate. Don't know. I don't think he touched the steak either. He ordered. He ordered like a steak, right, or something.
I like at some point, even he is like visibly like becoming drunk. Right? Because he's just, I think the idea was like they're not eating and he's just drinking a bunch.
That would have been funny. And he's like, oh, just the 8 ounce for me. I'm like, really, dude? Get the 12. Don't be that guy. Yeah. Get the 12.
You're the mayor's photographer.
You're the mayor's photographer.
You got to be rolling in dough, right?
I mean, you just had this big, long day of taking pictures of documents. And so you need a 12 ounce to chillax. But yeah, anyways, the food was very unbelievable. That's maybe the other thing. Was the food, was this restaurant food,
yeah,
unacceptable. I don't know. I don't like eating at places like that, like swanky five course meals.
I think I don't mind. I like the idea of I'll pay a restaurant like $80 to $100 if the courses just come out and I don't have to decide. I'm okay with that sometimes.
You could do the same thing with DoorDash. You could just eat it privately in your home at any order you want.
It's true, but I do spend like 30 minutes before I decide on which thing I'm going to order.
Yeah. True.
Because I get into this stupid idea of like, well, I could get this and this and this from this place. And then I'm like, but what if I die tomorrow? And this was the last thing I ate. I'm always doing that.
So, yeah. So you get two.
So restaurants like this are designed for people like me.
250 piece chicken nuggets, please. For me.
Yeah.
Or whatever the equivalent, tofu nuggets, or what do you eat?
tofu nugget, beyond meat nuggets.
Meat nuggets. Yeah. Okay, cool. Do you have anything else to add to the about the food, or you just want to?
No. Just lucky that the sister was able to fight back a little
bit. Okay, that was the other thing I didn't like. I think they became too, like, the third act happens, the reveal happens. I'm so glad you brought this up, because I did have a problem with this. That they immediately become completely, like, cognitive and, like, we're action heroes. It becomes very action hero-ish, right?
Yeah.
Like, she immediately knows to shoot the glass so the guy falls out. She knows to like make sure to check on him, to get their car, to drive back to her home.
Not just that, sorry, you gotta like, she shoots the fucking glass, it doesn't break, so she gets the hockey puck that the guy got her as a gift for the first date, and she's got a hell of an arm, and she throws it at the glass and it shatters.
Yeah.
After this guy stabs the bartender in the back with a knife, I was like, "What the hell is going on? This guy's like superhuman."
I like a good cheesy line when it's there, when they talk about when the bad guy or whatever is talking about like, I'm doing chess and you're doing, I don't know what you're playing. And she's Yahtzee. I actually that, because I think it's delivered as well as you possibly could deliver a really silly line. And I think it worked. I think it's really well delivered. Even though I don't think it's kind of like a dumb line.
But she could have said something like, before she threw the hockey puck, like, hey, did you get my drop? And then throw the hockey puck.
Yeah. Hey, sudden death.
So in the grand scheme of things.
Or, I don't know, sudden impact. Or what's that?
Hey, puck you.
Fuck you.
And the grand scheme of things, only three people die in this movie. Right. One is the piano player.
Right, he died in the bathroom.
Or like he died in the lobby of the
I want to say it was the bathroom, but yes,
because he ran up to the front where the concierge was at.
Okay, maybe he died off screen. Let's just say he just died somewhere off screen.
And then they go back and show him dying anyway. I'm like, no, but we know he died. We don't need this.
Yeah.
And then it's our main antagonist gets thrown out the window, and then the dude who is holding her family hostage
dies as well.
Yeah. Which lucky that she chose a restaurant that's only 50 feet away. Like, I think most of the journey was her getting in the elevator and going all the way down to the lobby to run across the street to get to her apartment.
Right, yeah.
Which is, I think, what happened. I could be wrong. I mean, I believe I remember her getting in a car.
She got into not only a car, she got into her date's car.
Oh, that's right.
She drove it terribly, so his insurance is going to be terrible. Go up the roof, all the damage. Probably broke some laws and probably going to be looking for the vehicle. So, yeah.
That's how we know this wasn't LA.
Right.
This wasn't New York. This wasn't Chicago because she had no trouble getting around.
Yeah. And when she first goes out into the day, they do like a, you know, a city shot. And I was like, I don't recognize any of it. I don't know what any of this stuff
is. Yeah. I was like, what is this supposed to be? I started naming off places like, is this Baltimore? Is this, like, where is this?
Well, see, there you go. That's where we get it wrong, because it's some nondescript city, so anything is possible. So maybe this city is suburbia, is like literally like down the corner. We don't know.
Unlike in the first John Wick, I think I'm like, oh shit, it's established that's LA. I didn't realize that. I never noticed that because I was just like, I don't know where this is at. New York? I don't know. Chicago? Yeah. I'm not sure. And then most of the rest of the movies take place in like New Yorkish.
New York, yeah. There's some overseas stuff.
Yeah, a lot of, wherever, Belgium or I don't know.
But yeah, I didn't like this whole thing where like, the women are basically fighting back. Not that I don't like that, right? I'm not chauvinist, but I'm just saying, like, it just seemed a little unbelievable. They knew like too much what to do, that it just became like, especially the sister. She's like stabbing him in the leg. She's like hitting the gun out of his hand, taking a bullet, and still like, we're still alive and still trying to like fight. It was a little too much, but I guess they're just trying to wrap up the drama and the tension of those scenes.
Yeah,
The idea of showing them as competent, but I felt like maybe it was too unbelievable. You know, like our women are not going to be damsels, right? In a cliche way.
Yeah.
So they try to like wrap them up and to be more proactive, right? More of a, like, action hero. I think it's just too much. It was just a little too much. Because if you still need to have that believability, right? Like that they're
Yeah, that's human. Where I started losing the...
They're not fucking Rambo. They're not these perfect people.
Well, maybe that's the part we missed in between her husband shooting herself, which is what happened. Her husband was going to shoot their son to take everything away from her, and I was like, I don't understand where this is coming from, because they're not going to explain why he was like that. And then the assumption was that she shot the husband because she had her fingerprints all over the gun, because the husband makes her grab the gun and says, like, you want to do it, just do it. And then she doesn't do it, of course. And he grabs a gun, going to shoot her kid or their kid, and then sees that the cops are showing up. So turns the gun on himself and just shoots himself. Mm-hmm. But in the interim, what we're not seeing is this is basically the movie Enough, starring J-Lo. And
used to be with the enemy.
She's going to start training.
Yeah. With the enemy. Or any kind of like true crime woman takes revenge. Any of those like made for
where
TV.
It is Terminator 2 and Lyndall Hamilton is doing pull-ups.
Yeah. It never gets that extreme, but I get what you mean. Yeah, like it kind of seemed like it's like something you might see in a reenactment of a true crime thing or something, the way it was staged.
I feel like you see this type of like very rapid paced like acceleration of what the characters are and sort of like buddy comedic movies, like do you remember the movie If Looks Could Kill with Richard Grieco?
Yes.
He's just a kid, like he's going on a holiday trip because he can't officially graduate until he finishes his French class, and they think he's a spy, and he just kind of goes all in on it. But that's like easier to like digest because you're like, oh, it's a stupid movie, like it's supposed to be a funny movie.
Or even Evil Dead, because Ash is a moron, but yet he knows how to defeat Necronomicon. He's smarter than Necronomicon. So he defeats.
I know I'm going to be the I'm going to be the Evil Dead purist here. I think what really makes that, those movies work, though, is they always made it a point to make sure people knew that he was a coward and he was just too scared to die, so he had to fight.
He fought an enemy he could defeat. Had those, any of those things been any more competent, they, Ash would be dead.
So, yeah, he totally would have been dead.
But I get your point. I see what you mean. I definitely see what you mean. Alrighty. Cool. You have any other thoughts for your rating?
None.
Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you're doing. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Drop 4 sexy spooky bones. Yeah.
Guess mine.
Six.
Seven. Close. Seven. I kind of was like 4.6. He's going to say 4.6.
Because I would have said 5, but I don't think I'd ever rewatch this.
I think it's 7. I think I had an entertaining time watching. I suspended my disbelief enough. Totally see all the things that you're talking about. Like, it's not like, no, John, you just didn't see the movie right or anything. No, I totally get what you mean. I just had fun. So, I'll give it a 7.
You're sure you don't all right, guys. Drop that rating.
Make it fall.
The Fall. Lee Pace. Who came out and Running Man, which was way better movie than I expected.
I will definitely get back to you on that. I feel like I'm gonna have very strong opinions.
Probably.
Spicy take. You're
gonna suspend your disbelief, though.
Well, is Edgar Wright even a thing? That's a spicy take. Is he even a director anymore? I don't know. Is he even a relevant director? I don't know. Do people still clamor for an Edgar Wright movie like they do, like, people of his ilk, like Quentin Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez? Are these guys the directors he came up with? I don't know.
That's some high praise, kind of, isn't it, though? You put him in a...
Well, he put himself there. But I'm just saying, people have... He made, what, 2 good movies. He thought he was the next of, but... Because at the end of every year, everybody you watch, like, everybody does, like, QT's top 10 movies of the year. Edgar Wright's top 10, because, like, he's considered an important voice in movies, so... But does he actually make good movies? I don't know.
That's where, I think we have different opinions, because I do like most of his movies. And I didn't see Last Night in Soho.
I say he made 2... like banger movies, like absolute classics, like don't have any flaws, but I think they're great. And then he made like some okay movies, and then most of it is bad after that. Anyways, let's not turn this into an Edgar Wright podcast. I want to like Edgar Wright. I swear, I want to like his movies. I always will give him a chance. I'm gonna watch Running Man. But anyways, all right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. As always,
stay spooky.